All right, we are recording. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. Welcome to Jackass Edition. Right before we hit the record button, we found out that this episode, this was an insidious plan by Alec to make Gog, Sean, and I watch Godzilla 2014. While I assume he didn't watch it, because we just found out that Alec is in
Alec.
Fucking New Orleans, so strap in, because it's just a TJ and Sean episode, because Gogs is, God. I don't even know where Gogs is.
Oh, it's like the Lisa episode of the podcast.
Yeah.
These are the worst.
Yeah, we get to talk about Louis Brunel and
this is how we used to do it way back in the fucking Stone Age. Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, it's just me and Sean. Apparently, we've been hoisted on our own petard. You know, back in the old days, I always wanted to craft a joke about hoisted on your own retard, but I just could never come up with anything. I don't know. There's something there.
I don't know if I was a real hack comic, I'd be like, oh man, the tariffs made me lose my job. I got hoisted on my own retard, but. That's kind of coarse. Like, I don't know. It seems like a layup.
Yeah, that's not too bad.
That's anyway, an SNL joke. Yeah.
We watched Sean and I, apparently only Sean and I, watched Godzilla.
The two people that deeply care about Godzilla on this podcast had to watch arguably the worst Godzilla movie.
This is without a doubt the worst. Actually, I don't know.
I didn't see Godzilla versus Kong or any of that shit, so I don't know.
See, that's the thing, like, I want to say that the sequel to this is even worse. The Godzilla King of Monsters. Dude, it's so bad. I mean, this is really... Nah, I take it back. This is way more boring than King of Monsters. King of Monsters is really bad, but it suffers from the same problem as this, where... And I'm just going to get right into it. One of the things that drove me fucking insane about the reaction to this movie, and we've talked about this 1,000 times... But, like, there's a certain kind of fan of nerdy media, and I'll even, horror movie people are lousy like this, where, like, if a movie is just about their beloved property, then they just love it no matter what. And they're just, like with horror movies, it's just like, well, it was stupid, but, you know, like, I love the character, and, you know, it was still good. And it's like, no, it's not. Not
do
good.
People like love this movie? Because when Alec brought it up, if he hadn't wrote 2014, this movie was a total blank spot in my memory. It was
this movie absolutely has its defenders.
That's and crazy. This movie's boring as shit.
The thing that drives me nuts about this fucking movie is I kept hearing the same shit where people were like, well, you know, it's not that great, but like at least I got like big monsters fighting, and it's like you barely got that. There's hardly any monsters fighting in this entire fucking movie. Every time you're about to get monsters fighting, either A, they cut away to do something else, or B, it's so fucking dark you can't see anything.
And I mean, it could be effective if it's like a, you know, I'm sure we'll mention Shin Godzilla a million times. Mm-hmm. If it's something where, like, you know, shit's happening outside and you're just dealing with the tension inside. But this movie's like, let's do the what we do, I guess, before we get to the actual movie.
Did you watch, what did we watch last week? I already forgot.
Oh, Crying Freeman. No, I didn't see it. I watched The Crow.
Dude, it's so good. You gotta watch Crying Freeman. It's so fucking good. I loved it so much. If you don't like it, I'll be shocked. I feel like it is like in your wheelhouse.
Yeah, for sure.
What did you watch this week, Sean? Did you watch anything?
I watched The Crow 2024.
Yeah, I've seen that. I've seen that movie.
I completed the circuit. I've now seen all the Crow movies. It's really bad.
It's really bad.
I don't get it. I don't get the point of the movie. And, like, I know you did a pretty deep dive on it when you saw it. Yeah. Besides the weird framing, like, I texted you while I was watching it. And, like, there's a lot of, like, center on frame, which is really, like, if you're Stanley Kubrick doing 2001, it works because he's, like, isolated in space talking to a computer. Right. But, like, in this movie, I don't know, like, shit that's, like... This movie kind of comes across less like a doomed romance than, like, a weird, like... incel fantasy?
Yeah, it's
now, he
very...
does fuck, right?
Yeah, he does fuck. But, like, but I don't buy their relationship at all.
No!
They have, like, absolutely no chemistry. Also, like I said this when I watched it, but what was the point of keeping Eric Draven and Shelley? Like, they're completely different characters. Why even keep the names?
Just like to annoy people.
Are the names that important? Like, just change their names.
They're only important to the people that actually really care about the original property.
Sure.
You just want the Crow. That's all people know if they're like outside of that.
Yeah.
But like, the thing about the original Crow, right? Like, you didn't see much of Shelley and Eric. But you understand that these were people that had lives, that loved each other very much. Everybody in this movie has a life that is going on outside of the events of the movie that is irrevocably changed by what happens when Shelley gets killed. You know, everybody,
yeah,
whether it's 100%. Fun Boy or fucking Top Dollar or Eric or Sarah or Darla. Yeah, Ernie Hudson, he's just Ernie Hudson. I can't remember what the fuck that character's name is.
His name is.
But, like, everything changes after the Crow happens. In this, it's just, like, some guy comes out and has, like, an exposition dump about when the Crow decides people loved each other enough. It's like, they didn't love each other. They were just in some kind of, like, super rehab? I'm not clear.
Yeah. That part was like super confusing, like that whole frame. But also, like, we did a review on The Crow a million years ago, but like one of the best parts of that movie is it just drops it, like it just goes, like it is like in media res. It takes so long for any like Crow related things to happen in this movie. It's so fucking boring. And then, I mean, you haven't gotten into it, but like, I have such a hard time with this because I really like Danny Houston. Like, I think Danny Houston is a great actor.
He's in some dog shit movies. No,
whenever he shows up, it's like, oh God, like it's gonna be bad.
Yeah, listen, like, to The Proposition.
The Proposition. He was great in X2. He was in that.
Yeah,
or no, he wasn't. No. He's not in X2. That's Brian Cox. He's in the band.
Yeah, he's in
X-Men Origin Wolverine.
Right. Playing the Brian Cox role.
Yeah, that's right. He plays the same character. That's why I thought.
Yeah.
But no, he's like, I mean, he's great, but like, yeah, The Proposition's fucking amazing. But like,
his sister's smoking hot too.
In the worst dog shit movies. Like, he's such a good. And in this movie, his character is so confused. Like, he's like a Faustian crime boss.
You know, it's funny. Like, I've boiled down most movie villains after watching The Crow into three types of villains. There's the hero that became the villain. There is the supernatural villain, and then there's the real estate villain. Those are basically the three types. And in the original Crow, Top Dollar is a real estate villain. He has some vague real estate crime. Danny Houston is some kind of devil vampire
or something? Question mark? I have no idea.
You'd think that would be more interesting. It feels like the worst combination of like an incel power fantasy and like those like. Shit, like the Relic type movies, religious horror movies. You know what I'm saying?
And like the other thing is when there is some action eventually happening, it's so boring and not well framed and like.
And you don't care.
Yeah, I don't give a shit.
And also, like, I guess, Eric can't die in The Crow, right? Like, unless the Crow, the bird gets mushed.
Well, that,
this one has
original,
some kind of strange zombie rule where, like, his body can't die, but they can kill his brain, I think is said.
Yeah,
I don't know. It sucks. We've talked about it a million times, you know, between Crow, BoCop, and everything else, but you could do, Jesus, you could do literally anything with the Crow.
Yeah.
Like, anything. Why do some, like, bizarre, like, in-name-only remake of the original, like... The only cool thing is like there's a couple cool songs on the soundtrack, but that's about it. Like I like those new wave songs.
I mean, the thing that doesn't make sense to me, right? And we've talked about this over and over and over again when it comes to remakes. But like, if you're going to remake something, right? You think you would have like an idea, like this is what I want to bring to this project, because you know no movie's perfect, and you know you could do something where you can say, well, I want to make a more comic accurate version of the movie. Like the original is pretty close, but you could make it closer. You know what I mean? And that's an idea. Or let's say, I mean, I've never read any of them, but there's been like tons of other Crow comic books. And I think there's been like Crow like novels and shit.
It's adapt one of them. The Predator. Did you say The Predator?
No, I didn't.
No, it's like The Predator. Just do anything else. Like just
right
anything.
Yeah, just all you have is so much you can do with that premise.
Bird resurrects guy or girl or whatever, and he goes on a killing spree. That's it. And then you can do whatever you want.
Well, I mean, like, again, another movie that we reviewed a billion years ago was City of Angels, which I thought we all thought was pretty decent and like a pretty good story. Like, it's different enough from the first one.
Yeah.
It plays around with the premise. The ending's a fucking mess, but apparently the ending was like heavily like edited and then.
It's the worst thing Harvey Weinstein ever did. The movie suffers more of anything than from them trying to make it more like the first movie than if it was just its own thing, you know?
Yeah, I agree completely. I agree. I don't know. It was just
just one of those things where they were so deep into it that it's like, we gotta make something. Like, they've been kicking this around for, there's Jason Momoa, there's Bradley Cooper, and then like, it's been going on forever. And like, Bill Skarsgård, I guess, is trying, but they don't give him shit to do.
I don't blame him for this movie. Like,
character is bad.
There's really nothing to Eric Draven in this movie. Like, I don't even know what the character is. Also, the fuck was up with the weird, like, guy that lived, like, between worlds, that, like, weird, like, spirit
guy? Oh, yeah, you gotta explain to him how the crow works.
Yeah, like, why was that character needed at all?
We talked about it before, like, I know... he's like kind of almost like fruity in the first one, but Eric in the first one, like he's vengeful, but he's still like kind of playful and he's got like a heart. You know what I mean? He's like kind of a sweet human being at the end of all of it, you know? Yeah. And like, this guy's just like, it's that fucking, I'm all messed up. Like, it's just that, you know? Yeah, and
it's
like,
terrible. It's literally did they have any hope this would make
any money?
I don't know. Like, I really
nobody could have watched that and went like, this is going to resonate with people.
Even when it came out, like, the marketing was very minimal. So I think they knew they had like a huge turd on their hands.
I mean, it's like, is the Batgirl movie worse than this? Like, it can't be, right?
I always go back.
Like, I always go back to that.
How is that so bad you didn't even release it? And apparently, like, destroy it. Apparently, it's, like, gone. Like, there's no, like, it's like, been deleted off the hard drive at Warner Brothers, which...
No, first of all, we dug him up, pissed on him, and set him on fire, and then we reburied him. Why? I don't know.
Yeah, that will never make sense to me. Like, you had it, and it was finished. Just fucking release it. You release everything else.
Put it on Max, or something.
Yeah, or anything. Put it on fucking Tubi.
At least the Toxic Avenger didn't get totally buried, and that's going to come out. I'm interested to see that.
It's coming out soon, too.
Yeah. Like, it can't be... Like, I trust in Macon Blair. It can't be that bad.
It's going to be good. I think it's going to be good. I think it's going to be a lot of... All the promo stuff for it already has been a lot of fun.
Well, apparently, at least from what I understood, the reason they didn't release, like, this is disgusting. Like, we can't release this. Like, I'm in.
I'm way in. I mean, Toxic Avenger is promo.
Yeah.
That's what it should be. Yeah, I'm excited for that.
Beyond that, I watched the first like three or four episodes of Yellow Jackets. That show's pretty good.
Yeah.
Oh, what?
The first season is amazing. It's got a little bit.
Does it fall off hard? Oh no!
Does it fall off? It turns. I'm not going to spoil it because the first season is really good.
You know how I feel about watching. Spoilers.
Well, no, I'm not going to like go into like story.
Is it a Twin Peaks thing where like after the first season, like, they don't know what to do with it?
I think so. And they also kind of turn the show into, like, a completely different show. And it's like...
Oh, for real?
That first season is so fucking good. And I love it. Also, Sophie Thatcher is, like... I mean, oh, my God. Like,
it suffers from that Hollywood problem where it's like, oh, you don't like me because I'm ugly. It's like, you're still Christina Ricci. Like, you can't, you can't, like, overall and fucking shitty haircut your way out of being Christina Ricci, you know what I'm saying?
Well, all of them. I mean, Juliet Lewis. What's her name? Melanie Lynskey is really good in the show.
I have the biggest crush on her. I don't know why. That's know if it's from I Don't Feel at Home in This World Anymore or what it is specifically.
That movie is so good.
It's one of those lost movies, right?
Oh, yeah, it is. And it's not even that old. I always like, I'm glad that she's like popping up in more stuff because she was in The Last of Us and she's in this. And like, I don't know, she's a really good actress that, like, I don't know, she deserves more roles. I think she's great.
Yeah.
And I Don't Feel at Home in This World Anymore is a movie that like everyone needs to watch. We should do an episode on it. It's a great, movie.
Oh, we did, No, what was the one we did? The Saulnier movie, the,
Hold the Dark.
Hold the Dark.
The worst Saulnier movie.
Should I go back and watch? Have you gone back to that at all? Because I feel like
it. I really didn't like it. I was so excited and it was so bad. But
I know
Himself. Rebel Ridge was excellent. So he, he's back.
We were in your apartment, like little girls, like, oh, it's finally out. And then it's like, it was like my my experience with what's the Star Wars movie? The second one. The Ryan Johnson one. Where I'm like looking at
Last Jedi.
Alec Harper.
Is that what that movie's called?
Yeah, The Last Jedi. From looking at you, like I'm like, I don't think this is very good.
I won't lie, like I was in kind of disbelief walking from the theater. I was trying in my head, like, yeah, it was pretty good. No, it wasn't. Like none of it was. Like I don't know. I was like so like heartbroken. I think I was like, God, it was so bad.
Yeah,
but that's all. Anything else? I recommend you finish Yellow Jackets. Just be wary.
I'm going
of season
to
two and three. I haven't even finished season three, but I've already heard that people hate it. So I don't know. I really like season one a lot.
Yeah, because it's funny because it's like, you know, it's not a story you've never heard before. It's Alive and Lord of the Flies, but like the idea of it bouncing back and forth is kind of interesting.
Done,
you know,
it's done really well.
Yeah. What'd you watch?
I think it's good. I watched two things. I watched Andy Sedaris, what's his name? Andy Sedaris's Hard Ticket to Hawaii.
Oh shit!
Fucking amazing. Have you ever seen this movie?
No, but I've seen of it. You know what I mean? Like I've seen.
You've seen the snake scene.
Hang on, I assume.
You're good. Having technical difficulties. No,
it's one of those like. Not video nasties, but it's one of those like, God, I can't think of something.
I've been sending you a lot of links, but I've been really into this YouTube channel called like the B Movie Bible, and he does these lists of like movie knockoffs. So like in his, I want to say it was in his James Bond knockoffs. Like he lists like 100 movies from like all over the world that like were like. Explicitly ripping off like big budget movies, and I every time I watch one of his videos, there's like 10 movies that I pull from there. I'm like, I got to see that. Anyway, he mentioned Andy Sedaris, and I know Andy Sedaris because when I was a horny 17-year-old,
you loved his siblings David and Amy Sedaris.
I don't believe they're related. I brought that up today. I don't think they're related. They possibly are. But I remember his movies because he made R-rated like softcore movies that you could get at Blockbuster. And there was one in particular that I rented all the fucking time. Again, you kids today with your internet, you do not know what horny teenagers had to do in the 90s. But there was this one called Return to Savage Beach that I used to get all the time. It's great. But anyway, it's not great. It's terrible. But he brought up this guy's movies and he said that, you know, when he first started, they were still full of like boobs and stuff. They're still basically softcore, but he's like his early movies, he still was trying to make movies. And he said that they were hilarious. And he showed this clip of there's this scene where the fakest looking snake you've ever seen in your life pops up out of a toilet. And then this guy bursts through an apartment wall on a motorcycle and then shoots the snake with a rocket launcher. And I'm like, I got to watch this. This movie is so fucking funny. Like, this snake, this giant snake who you learn is poisonous to people and mutinous because he's been fed cancer.
That's I'm in.
But it's like... it's the fucking MacGuffin for most of the movie because you're introduced. The movie opens in this warehouse, and it's actually kind of clever. All the title cards are on different crates in the warehouse, which is like kind of clever. But anyway, there's this big box that says like "poisonous snake, beware." And then they accidentally drop it, and they're like, "Oh my god, we lost the snake." The boss is like, "Where'd the snake go?" And they're like, "We don't know." And then the snake just goes away for like most of the movie. And then, like, there's this plot where these two women who are, like, question mark CIA agents, I don't really understand what they are. They're some sort of spy. And one of them is a double for the other one because they're both, like, just, like, blonde-haired, you know, chicks with huge hands. Yes, absolutely. And but like at one point there's like a piece of dialogue where the one is like, well, I put you into witness protection so you could be my double. It's like, what? They never address it again. And then like there's this the plot of the movie is that they're smuggling diamonds, and then they're like kind of unearthing this plot, and then there's another guy that's like kind of another main, there's like three main characters in this movie. And the guy
Miami Connection is the movie I was trying to think of where it's like, it's one of those movies. Good. It's like Miami Connection, that one. And there's another one. What the fuck is the one? It took the guy like 20 years to make it. So like the main character keeps getting older and fatter throughout the course of the movie. It's like a hard boiled, like 80s action movie. I can't remember what it is.
This fucking movie is so funny because like, well, first of all, again, I have to reiterate that this is first and foremost, this is like, crime, like exploitation, like there's lots of nudity in this movie, and like it's so funny because like there's just scenes where like two women are talking and then one of them just takes her tops off and takes a shower, and it's like, why did you do that? Like it's hilarious. And the guy in this movie is like impossibly handsome. He looks like if you fed like handsome man into like an AI. Like he's got like, he looks, I mean, it's funny because I don't know anything about this guy. I didn't look up his IMDb or anything because he can't act at all. But you can imagine that this guy is like the handsomest guy you've ever seen. And he's like, I'm going to get into acting, but he sucks at acting. So like, this is the only kind of movies he can be in. Also, there's hilarious like Chinese racism, like right away, because he's on a boat practicing his katas because with this other guy, and then they do this really racist Bruce Lee impression, which hilarious. The movie is absolutely insane, and it's like nonstop insane. This guy constantly brings around a rocket launcher, like things are exploding all the fucking time. People are karate kicking everywhere. There's a point in the movie where you go to the two leads apartments, and one of Andy Sedaris's other movies is on her wall. They're like, why do you have that movie on the wall? They're like, oh, this is my buddy so-and-so. They're a big movie star now. It's just like, what the fuck am I watching? It's quite amazing, and I highly, highly recommend it. If you want to see a snake, a 30-foot snake, come out of a toilet and get shot with a rocket launcher, this is really your best opportunity. There's great model work in this. Like there's like a plane, and obviously it changes into a model, and then it looks like fucking thunderbolts because the plane explodes, but it's clearly like a toy plane. Dude, this movie is so good. I can't say enough good things. I was rolling. I watched this immediately after Godzilla, and it was a wonderful palate cleanser. I absolutely loved it. I am going to dive deeper into Andy Sedaris's movies. I thought this was great. I can't wait to watch the. I mean, this was so fucking stupid. This is like the perfect like movie to just take an edible to and be like, what the hell is this? And there's tons of nudity, so there's something for the fellas and anybody that's attracted to women. Movies for guys that like to whack off to movies. Yeah. So I are you familiar with that? Have you seen any Andy Sedaris films?
No, but I just sent you a poster of another one that looks amazing.
That is the okay. This is the movie that's on their wall in Hard Ticket to Hawaii, Malibu Express. This is the movie that's on their wall. The poster for the movie that's on the wall. Also, there's a theme song. There's a theme song for Hard Ticket to Hawaii. Like they commissioned some guy to make a song because it's like, there's a hard ticket to Hawaii. It's not always paradise. Like, dude, it's so good.
How is it like on what tier is it compared to like a New York Ninja? Because that's like my all time.
I mean, like, it's not as good. It's not as good as New York Ninja because I don't. A New York Ninja is so good, but it's up there. with all the explosions and like the gratuitous nudity to the point where like it's like comical. They have to like stop a scene to get naked. Like, it's very funny. Also, something I'll point out that I was kind of shocked by, for as much nudity as in this film, very few sex scenes. Like, there's like,
they're just one, naked, just
cause. Yeah, they're just naked. Like, there's like one or two sex scenes, and the sex scenes aren't gratuitous, but like the nudity is. So like, I don't know. It's pretty great. I if you're looking for like a good bad movie, this is a great one to watch. I loved it. I thought it was great. I can't wait to watch Malibu Express. The other thing I watched is a movie that I think you'll find shocking that I've never seen. I watched John Carpenter's In the Mouth of Madness. I have never seen In the Mouth of Madness. Huh. I thought I did, and I watched it for the first time last night, and I loved it. I thought it was fantastic. It's really good.
Sam Neill.
Sam Neill is an incredibly weird performance. Like,
shit, what is the name of the writer he plays? Not Fraser. It's like something like Fraser Crane, but that's
It's very close to Fraser Crane. But no, he doesn't. He plays the character, the guy who plays the writer. It's like Solomon. No, it's not Solomon Kane. Hold on, I'm looking it up now. Sutter Kane.
Okay.
But the guy that plays Sutter Kane, that's the guy that played Leto the first in David Lynch's Dune. That guy's been in a million movies. His name is Jorgen Prochnow.
Yeah. Jorgen Prochnow is his.
Prochnow. Yeah. Yeah. He plays Sutter Kane. But this is a really good movie. The only thing that I felt like, and I hate to say this because I love John Carpenter, but like I think the story is so good and so interesting that like the John Carpenter like kind of hokiness of the movie kind of holds it back a little bit. Like
who should have directed it?
I don't know. Like an Ari Aster or somebody, or like not Ari Aster. Ari Aster could do it, but I like a fucking Nosferatu. Now I can't think of his fucking name. Robert Eggers.
Oh, okay.
Like, or no. Hold on, I'm gonna erase that, delete that from the pod. I got the perfect guy, Panthos Cosmos or whatever his name is.
Oh, okay.
Like Mandy, that guy. Like, that would be incredible if you made that. Like, I'm against remakes, but if somebody wants to remake this, I think you could do so much with it. Because, like, I think the plot is so cool. Like, it's very. I don't know. I know you. You dipped your toes into Alan Wake, but it's very Alan Wake. Like, they definitely saw this fucking movie, because like it's about a story being written and the character kind of realizing he's in the story as it's being written. And I love movies that deal with like shattering reality. It's one of my favorite.
You love The Ninth Gate. That's like one of your favorite movies ever.
I hate that fucking movie. That movie sucks. That's the worst thing Roland Polanski ever did. I really like the movie a lot. Again, like some of it's a little hokey. The effects are really good. Like the special effects of the movie are great, all practical, obviously. Sam Neill, who I really like, it just gives a very strange performance. Like, not strange in the fact that like it's a weird, excuse me, Lovecraftian movie, like strange where like he's supposed to play this like kind of cynical like insurance adjuster, so he doesn't believe anything, he thinks everything is a grift, but like his way of like playing like sarcastic just doesn't read right, and I think it's because he's trying to mask his accent, so he's doing that Benedict Cumberbatch thing where he just says things really weird. And like, I don't know, like his performance is fine. Like, he's good in the movie, but like there's something off-putting about his performance and I couldn't put my finger on it, but overall it's great. I mean, it's classic Carpenter. It's like just over an hour and a half long. I think it's like an hour and 35 minutes long. It's like perfect. And it's a great, like, it's probably the best like Lovecraft movie I've ever seen without explicitly being about H.P. Lovecraft. Like, it is without a doubt H.P. Lovecraft. Like, I mean, it's not even like it. I mean, at one point, like the monsters you see are like tentacle begotten beings that are like clearly elder gods. And like, I don't know. I thought it was really fucking good. I always think of Sam Neill. Blu-ray. I'm going to pick that
I always
up.
Think of Sam Neill in fucking
what's the one Goggs loves? And I can't, God damn it.
Jurassic. Event Horizon.
Like he's really good. And I want to like that movie. I really do, but I can't. And I don't know what it is.
There's parts of that movie I really like, but as a whole, like, I think it's one of those movies where I think I agree with you on this, where I feel like I should like it more than I do. Cause I love the premise and I love the idea of the movie, but like, I feel the movie just kind of misses the mark. Like, I don't know.
Maybe it's a director problem. Maybe it's like a
Paul Thomas Anderson. Well, that cast is really good in that too. You got, what's his name? Lawrence Fishburne, Sam Neill, the guy whose name I can never remember, who played the bad guy in The Patriot.
Jason Isaacs.
Jason Isaacs, who's great. Like it's got a great cast. It's just like, I don't know. There's something about that movie that just never. I need to rewatch it. Maybe I'll rewatch it this weekend.
While I got you on here, I was watching this guy's list of movies, and they're talking about The Phantom Thread, which is a movie like you and I both like to different degrees. Like, I like the movie.
I like it.
I know you liked it a lot, but he said it was his best movie. I was like, that is an insane take. Like, I can't sign off on that.
I mean, did he not watch There Will Be Blood? Like, yeah. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be that guy, but if There Will Be Blood isn't number one or two on your P.T. Anderson list, like, I don't trust your opinion.
I mean, There Will Be Blood might be one of the best movies ever made, period, let alone just by him.
1,000%. I mean, that'd be like saying, like, your favorite P.T. Anderson movie is Inherent Vice. Like, get the fuck out of here.
Like, yeah, I was going to say Boogie Nights, but I could see that being people's favorite movie because it's, like, very accessible.
I mean, I'm fine with if somebody's favorite P.T. Anderson movie is Boogie Nights, I'm fine with that. It's a great movie.
Yeah.
Like, and it's also, like you said, it's very easily accessible. It's not like artsy. You know what I mean? Like, I have a very hard time with Phantom Thread being his best movie. I think it's a good movie. Yeah. I think all of his movies are good. I don't think he's made a bad movie, but
My favorite thing about that movie is us walking out of the theater and you turn to me and go, "You think Maya Rudolph's okay?"
Yeah, right. Yeah.
It always makes me laugh.
Yeah. That relationship in that movie was rough. I mean, I felt the same way. I feel the same way every time I watch a fucking Ari Aster movie, because every Ari Aster movie is about a fucked up family. It's like when I left Bo is Afraid, I'm like, is his mom all right? Because that movie is all about how, like, his mom is ruining his entire life until he dies, and it's like,
What's the short movie? Was that him that made that short?
Oh, yeah, something about the Johnsons or whatever? Yeah. Oh, God, yeah, that was rough. Good movie, though.
Yeah. I want to say this movie I'm trying to think of is Deadly Prey, but I don't think that's it. There's some movie where it's, like I said, a shitty, like, schlocky action movie where they had to shoot it over, like, a couple years. And it finally got released by like Alamo or one of those people, like a loss. I don't know. It's gonna drive me nuts.
You gotta watch. You gotta watch that B movie, the B movie Bible, like his Terminator knockoffs, because he gets into a bunch of the, what's that guy's name that made Cyborg, the director?
Oh, Albert Pyun.
Albert Pyun. He gets into like a ton of Albert Pyun movies that I've like never heard of, but now I instantly need to watch. I'm like, hell yeah. Like, I don't know.
Does he talk about the Bill Blank's vehicle TC2000?
He absolutely does. You gotta watch, dude, watch that channel. Like, you'll love it.
I wish my buddy Terrell was on here, or I myself was a black guy, because he had the funniest alternate title for that movie that I can't say.
Oh, no. Anyway, but that's all I watched. So I guess we got to get into Godzilla 2014. Godzilla 2014.
Has Alex seen this movie before, do you think?
I don't know. I bet not, because he doesn't like Godzilla movies. Remember, we brought that up before. He did like Shin Godzilla, oddly enough. I think he did, right? I remember him liking it.
Yeah. I think we all love that.
This is directed by
Dangerous Men, Draft House. That's a release.
Dangerous Men.
I just sent you this.
This is directed by Gareth Edwards, or as he's known on the show, the Bad Gareth. Not to be confused with the good Gareth Evans, who we all love on the show.
That's fucking crazy that those guys' names are so close. Like, they should make Gareth Edwards change his name. Like, he should be Gary from now on.
I want to say Gareth Evans has a new movie coming out. Yeah, he's got a new movie coming out this year with Tom Hardy called Havoc.
Yeah,
it's a Netflix movie. It comes out, dude. It comes out in a week.
It's about Alex Summers.
April 25th on Netflix. Holy shit, I didn't realize it came out.
I'm in.
Yeah, well, you know what? I forgot that he must have a deal with Netflix, because remember, Apostle was a Netflix original.
You know what's funny about the bad Gareth, the current Gareth in the meta, is that like we're always like, he directed one good movie, but it turned out like that the evil suits at Disney actually made his movie watchable.
Yeah, well, I kept hearing that movie. Well, it's funny. The last movie he made, The Creator, I either heard it was really good or it was the biggest piece of trash. I've never seen a movie like so much divisiveness on like the reviews. But it's got what's his name in it? I like David Washington. That's his name, right?
John David Washington.
John David Washington. Yeah, he's the lead. I don't know. I kind of want to watch it. It looked interesting.
It seems kind of a boilerplate sci-fi like AI premise, but yeah.
Yeah, but I'm like, you know me, I'm a sucker for any, if it's a boilerplate sci-fi movie, but has an interesting like visual aesthetic, I'm like, yeah, I'll watch it.
Yeah.
But anyway, man, we really don't want to talk about Godzilla.
What's there to talk about? This movie,
it sucks so
much. I texted TJ while we're watching this movie. I was like, my favorite part of movies is when you can't see them at all. I was watching this in like ambient daytime light, and there were legitimately parts I could not see. It just looked like a black screen with like a gray thing wiping across it. And it's like, and it's not even like in a fun kind of like scary way. It's just really dark. And
you just can't see it.
This movie, I know that it costs like $100 million or so, because I think Shin Godzilla costs like 10.
It cost $160 million.
It, except for the Godzilla, which we could quibble about the design, but like I think the effect looks
good. The design is fine. I don't know. A lot of people have problems with the design.
I don't like its face for some reason. I don't know why.
The design to me isn't the problem with this movie. Like, it's fine. Like, I'll give it credit where, to me, they did a good, unlike the whatever, 99, 2000, whenever that movie came out, unlike that movie where they turned Godzilla into a fucking dinosaur and I hated it, this is like a redesign that still looked like Godzilla. Like, I'd give it credit for that. Like, I didn't have a problem with the design of it. This movie everything is, else. Like, you never see him. That's the problem.
It looks really cheap, too, when they're doing interiors and stuff. Like, it feels like, I don't want to say like a sci-fi movie, but not far off. A lot of the interior scenes, like the sets, look bad.
Well, it's just really boring, and it has no like sense of style. Like, you know, you said it. Well, again, we're going to bring up Shin Godzilla times because that movie's a fucking masterpiece. But Shin Godzilla, 90% of that movie takes place inside of office buildings, and it looks better than this, and it's more compelling than this. Like, I don't.
And they squeeze every fucking cent out of it when they go to the exteriors, because Godzilla is a legitimate threat.
Yeah, but that's the other thing, too. Like, the destruction in Shin Godzilla looks so much fucking better. Well, the destruction in this, like, it's like, I don't know. I don't
shit like
there's
Godzilla.
There's no weight to this movie.
Because it's so quiet. You know what I mean? Shit should be shaking. Like, you make, we'll talk, I don't know if we'll talk about it, because the plot's so thin. But there's a part where Godzilla roars, and like those guys' ears should all be blown. It should be like Black Hawk Down when he shoots the RPG and nobody can hear for the rest of the day.
They're standing like 50 feet away from Godzilla. When he does his Godzilla shriek, that like glass should be breaking, and like, you know what I mean? That should be deaf.
Like, something like a Godzilla works better when it's like chaotic, like in Shin Godzilla again. You know, it's going through its like larval stage, and then it's different forms. It's like there's no like method to what it's doing. It is just doing. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, we talk about the force of nature villain. Like, that's what Godzilla should be. But this one, and briefly, the plot of this movie is, instead of like every other Godzilla movie where it's a warning against radiation technology.
I hate this so much.
He's just a real old dinosaur. But he also eats radiation, which is okay. They do that in the other Godzilla movies. They all subsist off radiation. They don't eat, except I think there's like one in the 80s where he eats something, but it's like one of those like those Toho, like after they made it in an afternoon Godzilla movies. It's like whatever. Nobody gave a shit.
There's one where he fights. I forget who he fights, but yeah, he does eat it. But I mean, it's like whatever. Yeah. It's like
But it's like, they don't like say it like they do for some. There's like a really odd bit of dialogue where it's like, he's eating the radiation. It's like Homer with his fucking bird. Like, it's drinking the water. but he's also there to hunt these other monsters. And it's like, you know, we're texting and I'm like, this is in theory, like people's first Godzilla. This is meant to be like a jumping on point to Godzilla, right? This is a reboot, remake, whatever. Why do you need two other monsters? Like what? For what? Yeah. Like is a colossal lizard that has atomic breath not enough of a threat, but they need to like make him a good guy sort of for reasons?
You just hit the nail on the head, right? Like they couldn't make Godzilla, like again, like in Shin Godzilla, like in Godzilla Minus One, like Godzilla is the villain in the original Godzilla is the villain. And it's like in this movie, they're like scared to make him scary and bad. Right. So it's like, oh, he's the protector of Earth and he's got to fight these two bugs. And it's like, that's not interesting. Like, that's not like, I don't
like
care.
That's fun, you know, in Godzilla versus Mothra or something, like, you know, 20 years and we're just like goofing off. But like, Godzilla's the villain in the same way that like the asteroid is the villain in Armageddon, right? You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't have like a sinister plan. I mean, that would be fucking hysterical.
That would be like, really good. We need to get the guy that made smoking causes coughing on that, like a sentient asteroid that's a dickhead.
But you know what I mean? And it's like, oh, he's hunting, let them fight. It's like, hunting, what is, does he have to eat? What are these other two, like, what are we doing?
But the other thing is, like, do you ever feel in this movie that Godzilla is like a threat? Because every time they're about to do something, it's either it's already happened or like, I don't know. They focus on our main character.
Yeah, it's like the ATJ dick around hour. Quint
Brody or whatever his fucking stupid name is. Oh, his name is Brody Ford, because, you know, Spielberg. His name is Brody Ford. I guess we'll get into the plot for like 3 seconds, because that's all this really deserves. I don't really even...
You know what? There are a lot of good actors in this movie, Aaron Taylor Johnson aside, that are like incredibly wasted. Like,
the only interesting part of this whole movie is the first 5 minutes with Bryan Cranston.
Yeah.
I thought that scene when they're having the nuclear fallout or whatever was interesting.
Do you know why? Because it's the most like the other Godzilla movies, like the good ones. It's the most like Godzilla 54 or Shin Godzilla. I haven't seen Minus One yet.
Oh, dude, you got to watch that. It's so good.
But like, it's the most like, oh no, the scientists running around because shit's gone haywire. Like, that's, and then it turns into fucking Independence Day, sort of.
Yeah,
this movie wishes it was Independence Day, though, because Independence Day is actually fun.
Yeah, it's fun. Well, the problem is that the movie, for whatever reason, decides to like focus most of their attention on Brody Quint or whatever, and it's like, I don't care about this guy. And like, he just kind of materializes wherever the plot needs him. Like, there's a scene where it fucking kills me. There's a scene where he is on like a train, right? And the everybody's panicking, and there's this kid gets separated from his parents, and he's like, oh, it's okay, I'll find you. In the midst of all this, Godzilla attacks, right? So there's chaos everywhere, and he eventually gets off the train, but it's like a harrowing experience. He gets off the train, and again, this is after like a disaster, and the kid's parents just happen to be there, and it's like, well, that's convenient. Like, Then the army just happens to go by. He's like, hey, where are you going? He's like, oh, we're in the army. You want to join up? And they're like, yeah, sure. And then, like, it's like, everything is like that. It's fucking...
Yeah, like, all these guys in that this, like, extinction-level event are fine to just stop and talk to this bomb disposal guy that just wandered off from fucking the Hurt Locker. And the movie, like, really... Anyway, go ahead. The plot...
Oh, that's it. That's basically it. I mean...
Yeah,
you find out that the Ken Watanabe has been studying.
Total waste.
Yeah,
except for he gets to say Gojira, which is fun. But
that's
the best part of the movie, is him saying Gojira.
Ken Watanabe works for. This is where they introduce the stupid MonsterVerse people. Monarch.
Yeah,
and he's been studying Godzilla for a billion years, and blah blah blah. And this is when he tells you that, like, I guess, like, when we set off the nuclear bombs, bomb testing and all, that wasn't testing. That was to try to like kill like fucking kaiju or something, or kill Godzilla. I can't remember or care. It was fucking dumb. They find these big like crystallis pods all over Earth, and that's where the fucking Starship Trooper ass bugs that Godzilla fights pops out of.
The Mutos, which are an acronym, like, who could give a fuck?
Oh, God. Yeah. And then the whole movie is just fucking Aaron Taylor Johnson just going from location to location as destruction presumably happens, but you don't know because you never fucking see it.
And you don't hear it. This movie's so weirdly quiet. Like, if it was like A Quiet Place or something, and then there was just like, it's not like, and I'm trying to think about it, it's not like quiet in a way where there's like no score and it's just like intermittently there's an explosion or a crash or something. It's like all Parasite Eve music, but it's really quiet. And like, it just doesn't work.
Also, how do you have an American Godzilla movie and don't put the fucking Blue Oyster Cult song in it? Come on.
Oh yeah. He's gotta go.
I love that song.
But it's not, again, they're just kind of like there to contain the damage from Godzilla fighting these other things, I guess.
Like, yeah, I guess.
Again, like this colossal lizard monster that breathes fucking radiation. Like, should be enough of a threat on its own, and like that should be compelling. But it's like, this movie. I don't know. Like, this again, this feels like a script for something else that got smashed into. But like, what? You know what I mean?
Well, and again, like I think like the biggest fault of this movie is they're terrified to make Godzilla actually like a villain or do evil things. And there's a part in the movie after he kills the two bugs that cracked me the fuck up because. So, like, Godzilla's like, Ken Watanabe's like, oh, he's done fighting. He's got to go home now. So Godzilla, it just walks back to the ocean, and then they show the fucking the news, and they're like, is he the king of all monsters? Is he the Earth savior? But as they show him walking, right, there is, like, a giant highway full of cars. And it's like, well, he's going to smash all those cars and kill hundreds of people. But they don't even show it. They just cut. They show him about to step on the highway. Then they cut him in the water, and it's like, what happened there?
I don't know. Are they trying to do like a T-Rex in Jurassic Park thing where like the Velociraptors are the evil ones? But like, that works because the T-Rex also fucks everybody up beforehand and then like by happenstance kind of saves them. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's I don't understand. I don't understand any choice that this
and like movie if this
makes.
Is just meant to be like a setup for the rest of those movies, which I don't know if it was or not. Like at the end, just be like, gentlemen, we're putting together an organization in case shit like this happens again. Not the organization already existed. It's like, what were you guys doing? Just jacking it for the last like 100 years?
100 years, yeah. Who fucking knows? And the other thing is, like, I mean, you know, I have such a big problem with the Mutos or whatever.
Yeah.
They're so boring. They look terrible. Like, you have Godzilla, right? There is, I don't know, off the top of my head, there's probably 70 Godzilla villains that I can think of. Just steal one of those designs and make them. I know they put him in the fucking Kong versus Godzilla movie. Why isn't Mechagodzilla the villain?
Oh, I was just gonna say, like, why don't they just do that? I didn't see that one either. But like, it's like my buddy Michael, it always made me laugh. He's talking about like Pacific Rim and shit. He's like, I don't get these movies where like there's big monsters, so they just make big robots to punch them instead of using like I don't know any other kind of weapon.
Right.
But like that follows movie logic at least. It's like okay. Sure. Well, the only way we can fight a Godzilla is we made our own Godzilla, but with missiles and shit.
It's fucking awesome. And Mechagodzilla rules. It's great. Like, it's such a weird, like, everything about this movie is weird and boring. And, like, I know I can already hear people say, well, you know, Godzilla wasn't the main focus in any of the movies. It's like, yeah, but those movies had other things going on. Go watch Godzilla Minus One. The actual story in Godzilla Minus One is fucking great and heart-wrenching. And
the threat of Godzilla is always there. And like,
doesn't
feel threatened. Like, also, what does he really fuck up in this?
Nothing. He doesn't do a fucking thing.
There's that scene in Shin Godzilla where he just like his whole head opens up and that beam of atomic breath destroys the entire city. Like, it's fucking fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand.
He can't step on a hospital or something. To be fair, I wasn't really paying much attention for most of it because it's a lot of people. It's like it suffers from that kind of problem that the boring parts of the Transformers movies do without having the incredibly chaotic spoon fighting of the rest of the Transformers movies, where it's just guys sitting around fucking the Pentagon going, I don't know what we're going to do. Blah, blah, blah. And it's just like, I can't watch this. This is not compelling at all.
And what they decide to cut to, like at one point, we haven't even mentioned her, but what's her name is in this? Scarlet Witch.
Elizabeth Olsen
in this movie. For some reason, and at one point, like, she gets into the fray, but I honestly forgot about her completely. And then she shows up again, conveniently just shows up in the where the rescue operation is. And it's like,
he gets home from fucking outer heaven or wherever he was stationed. And he's home for like 2 minutes and they call him and it's like, oh, I got to go to Japan. Dad's going crazy or some shit. Yeah. It's like you could have got him like. The amount of plot contrivance to propel Aaron Taylor Johnson forward in this movie is amazing. Also, he has no chemistry with her because she's not 60 years older than him, I guess, so he's confused as to what he's supposed to do.
Yeah, and Bryan Cranston is like, I don't know, that whole, as much as I thought that the first 15 minutes are actually pretty interesting, you could cut that whole part of the movie because it doesn't really matter, like, at all. Like, I don't know. It's like, I don't understand this movie, like, at all.
Like, couldn't Godzilla directly kill his dad?
That would have been something, right? But again, like, it's like they're scared to make Godzilla a villain. They're scared to make him do anything bad.
Like, he couldn't just, like, oopsie, fall down and sit on him, right. And Godzilla could get all embarrassed.
Yeah, I don't know. I just the whole thing is just a mess. And its biggest crime is that it's just so fucking boring. Like, it's just,
you know, people say the 54 Godzilla is boring. I don't find it boring, but I disagree. The problem is with this versus that, the thrust of the 54 Godzilla movie and Shin Godzilla to an extent is the people and like how they're reacting to the crisis, right?
And not to put too fine a point on it, but Shin Godzilla, original Godzilla, Japanese, and Godzilla Minus One. All those are statement movies. They're all about the horrors of war. Shin Godzilla was about that nuclear fallout that happened in Japan. And
the failure of the bureaucracy.
Right. They had something to say. This movie has nothing to say. This movie is just like, hey, we made Godzilla again.
It's that weirdly American, and like maybe in other countries, but it seems like they have a better handle on this, where it's like, oh, audiences won't care about the people if we don't have one specific person they're meant to care about, right? Like we can't imagine being part of this like massive governmental organization or, you know, whatever, this huge office building filled with people. We're like, that's more relatable than being like this fucking bomb disposal jerk off that's like walking around the country like, hey, what you doing there, Sarge? Can I tag along? Like, we, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't understand that fucking, I don't know. Like, every decision in this movie makes very little sense.
Yeah, and it's like there's that scene that they even put it on the fucking poster, and I remember they put it in the fucking trailer where they do that like Halo drop, and I remember like that getting pretty heavily advertised, and it looks like shit. It's like not interesting. The Halo
drop in Reign of Fire was way better. Way better movie. I'm standing on it. Reign of Fire over Godzilla 2014.
Yeah, I don't know, man. This movie kind of sucks. Like, it doesn't kind of suck. It sucks a lot.
It's
so I think like, that's everything.
I can't believe it made money and spun off like 8 other movies. I really can't.
It didn't do that well, which is one of those things where it made $529 million on $160. So, like, it was successful, but, like, it wasn't like a wild success. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you know the math. Like, they double 160.
Right. So basically, it broke even, made up, you know, 100 million or so.
I wonder what the sequel made. Let's see what the sequel made.
I bet you the sequel was cheaper.
Yeah, that sequel is real bad. The sequel made less.
How much did it cost?
$200 million.
Oh, fuck.
$200 million and a box office of $387. Why do they keep making these fucking things?
Like, I don't know. Skull Island was kind of fun.
And this, the second one, dude, is all about these like eco terrorists. Dude, it's so fucking bad. Kong versus Godzilla. What did that make? That made these movies don't make a lot. Like, why do they keep making these things?
Oh, so no.
Godzilla versus Kong, $200 million budget, $470 box office. Again, it made money, but it's not like a, you know, it's not like blowing things away. Oh, that's the shit. Oh my God, dude. I forgot they made a second Godzilla versus King Kong. They did? My God. Yeah, it was called New Empire. It came out last year.
Oh, no.
Yeah, they, no remember, idea. It was the one where King Kong had like a power glove?
No.
Oh, you didn't see the. Oh, I kept saying. No. Okay. All right. I feel less crazy. So this is fucking nuts. This is really insane. So it's funny to watch box offices like this. So the second King Kong versus Godzilla, $150 million budget, $571 box office. That one made the most out of all of them.
But and it's still not like crazy.
It's not like Endgame money. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, also a fucking R.I.P. Adam Wingard, who directed both of those. God, ugh. I used to.
When's the last time that guy made a good movie? Mm. The Guest.
It's been a long time. The Guest? He did do The Guest.
Yeah.
You know what? God, that's
is it. The Guest, because it's like Blair Witch, and then
I'm looking right X. now. Yes, the last good thing he made was The Guest. In
what's he got after
2014? God. Ugh. He made The Blair Witch, which was bad. I watched that. He made Death Note, which I've never seen, but I've heard is horrible. Godzilla versus Kong, Godzilla versus Kong 2, and he's got a new movie coming out, TBA, called Onslaught.
Is but it a man?
It's about the X-Men villain. Yeah. Jesus Christ! This he made a movie in 2011 called What Fun We Are Having. Four stories about date rape. Yikes, buddy. What the fuck is that?
The Guest is good.
Oh, I don't know about that one, Adam.
Spicy.
The Guest is good. Your Next is really good. I love you.
Yeah, man. I got him mixed up with Ty West for a second. He made Axe, right? That sucks.
No, I always, well, he's in your Ty West is in Your Next. That's he's, why.
Yeah.
He made a Horrible Way to Die, which I really like a lot too. But I don't know about that 2011 movie. Anyway,
go watch. You want to watch something? Watch Godzilla Final Wars. That shit's fun.
Shockingly, this movie, Four Stories About Date Rape, did not receive a theatrical release. Due to rights issues. I don't think it has anything to do with rights issues, buddy. Jesus.
I guess Miramax probably owned the rights to date rape.
All right. Okay.
But yeah, watch Final Wars instead. That's fun. You want to watch a fun Godzilla movie?
There's a ton of fun Godzilla movies, man.
Final Wars is not good, but I do love it. Also, I think Don Fry's in that movie.
Dude, Final Wars is great. I love my personal favorite from that era, the Millennium era, if you will, is Godzilla versus Destroyer. Oh. I love that movie.
Is it awesome. Godzilla 2000, the one where it's like, fuck America, we're taking it back? That's fun.
That's the one where they kill the American Godzilla in that one. It's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great movie. All right, Five Knuckle Shuffle time.
Sean, what do you think Goggs would have thought of this?
I have no idea.
I feel like he would have gave it a 5.
Yeah, I feel like he'd be really bored. I can't see him liking this movie.
Yeah. Me.
The real question is, what would Alec give this movie?
A 3.
Yeah, he doesn't do boring, and this is very boring. Yeah.
I'm going to give this a 1 because it is intensely boring, and like it's something that should not be difficult. Like, it should not be hard. It really shouldn't. To at least make it, like, propulsive. It might not be good, but at least have shit happening. Like, and I know, like, you got to have the big third act, you know, blah, 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 and Jaws. Yeah. And I know Jaws is an accident, but it's like, I would rather watch like them just tearing ass through the city for 2 hours and like get bored of that than be bored all the way up until the big reveal and then also be let down.
Yeah. You know what I mean? 100%. Like, it's just, no, I'm totally with
this
you.
Movie is nigh unwatchable. I don't know why you can't get more blood out of this stone. I don't know how they keep doing it, but they keep doing it and God bless them. But it ain't for me. I just, Skull Island is not a good movie, like a good movie, but it's fun.
it's the best movie that they've made out of these things. Like,
yeah,
Skull Island was good enough where I was like, well, maybe the next Godzilla will be good, because that came out in between this and that. Yeah, and it sucked. And I haven't. I think Alex said that that Monarch TV show isn't bad, but like, I'm sorry, I'm not going in. Yeah. I'm not jumping into that pool.
You know, maybe it's like, and I wouldn't think so, but maybe that whole, you know, the atomic conceit is so unique to Japan. And you and I have talked about, like, every Neo-Tokyo 80s, like, everything in Japanese media, and rightly so, I'm not belittling it, was influenced in some way by those bombs for, like,
of course, absolutely.
Ever. So they maybe not? They understand it a little bit more. I don't know what, unless we had, like, a big racism monster. I'm trying to think of something, like, uniquely American.
That's a good question.
Yeah, like, I don't know what our I don't know, some giant trans volleyball player destroying everything. Like, I don't know what our net...
That would certainly piss off a certain demographic of
people. But he didn't even destroy any of the cities. He's not even as good as the regular girl monsters.
They destroy, like, Topeka. And they don't destroy anything, like, big. It's just like, oh, okay. Yeah, I saw some fucking right-wing article posting about, like, there was two trans people that, like, won, like, a pool tournament.
Yeah.
It's like, really? This is what we're worried about? A pool tournament? Like,
oh, God. But, yeah, this is a one. Like, this is cresting on a zero. Like, it's so bad. Like, it was worse than I remembered. I remembered, like, the last 15 minutes at least had their shit going on, but nothing really happens there either. There's a lot of, like, you know, somebody described Star Trek the Motion Picture is a series of glory shots of the Enterprise. That's kind of what the end of Godzilla is. It's just a series of glory shots of Godzilla and these two, like, I think you call them Starship Troopers monsters, like, making out or something.
Yeah, they just look like, they look exactly like the bugs from Starship Troopers.
But those work better because they don't have faces and they're scary.
yeah, they were cool.
These have, like, eyes and shit, and they just look goofy. They look like, you know, a PlayStation 2 bargain bin monsters. They're just, it's bad. This movie sucks.
It's so generic. It's just, and again, like, you take it from Godzilla, which is, like, in the Japanese movies, like, yeah, a lot of the designs are kind of silly. Like, Baragon is one of my favorites, and he's kind of silly. He's got, like, the big Dumbo ears, but it's an interesting idea. You know what I mean? Like, look at any, like, Tatsumatsu fucking, you know, the Power Ranger thing, for lack of a better term, for people that don't understand what I'm talking about.
Oh, the Super, what is it, Saiten?
Super Sentai, but Sentai, that style of program is called Tatsumatsu. It's basically just the Power Rangers thing. Like, you fight, like, a bunch
monster
of guys
of the week shit.
Fight
yeah.
big monsters. Go through 60 years of Japanese TV. There's a million, like, wild, crazy designs.
We can't make that shit right either, because they made that fucking Power Rangers. They made Power Rangers movies twice, and they've both been like, sucked. Awful.
Yeah, I don't know why we're so, like, why, you know.
I think because we can't, so scared I feel like, silly. That's the thing. I don't think American, like, triple A movies. I'm so fucking video game poisoned. Big budget Hollywood movies. Like, they can't, like, they're so afraid to just be silly.
Yeah.
Without, like, it being, like, the point of the movie. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, we can make something goofy, but it's just Dumb and Dumber. Like, we can't just make, it's like, oh, that won't track if they're in mech suits and they just do something goofy. Yeah, like, Pacific
much,
Rim,
I was gonna say,
as many
as
problems
I
have with that movie, yeah.
Yeah, it's
it kind of gets the spirit of it.
Yeah, and that's why I like the second one more, because it's even stupider. Like, just make something fun. Like,
we couldn't make a Shin Kamen Rider, because it would just end up being like a Ghost Rider movie. You know what I mean? Like, we can't.
I mean, it's like, if we make something in America, it's got to be, like, serious. And it's like,
but no, we did it in the '80s.
Yeah, like, I don't know. But even
Mega Force.
So, but like, even like fucking Godzilla.
Robot, you ever seen Robot Jocks? Like, that movie's goofy as fuck.
But, like, you know, Shin Godzilla and Godzilla Minus One aren't goofy either, but they, like, get their point across. Like, I don't.
Yeah.
But again, they have a point. This movie has no point. This, like, if it, you know that
this is there to cash in on an intellectual property. Like, well, that's what it is.
I always think about that Red Letter Media thing when they talk about the Phantom Menace, where they're like, name something about this character that's not his name, gender, or what he does. And name anything about the main character in this movie. I'd have no idea.
He's Aaron Taylor Johnson.
I know nothing about this character at all. There's nothing about him that I... He's a soldier. That's all I know. Yeah. He's a soldier. He has a family. It's
like Kellen Winslow Jr.
Yeah, it's awful. All right.
Would you give it?
It's a... You know what, dude? I'm giving this... It's a zero for me, dog. As you were talking, I was trying to think of reasons why to give this thing a one. I can't do it. I hate this movie. I think it's terrible. I think it's fundamentally terrible. I can hardly see it through most of the film. There's no part of this movie that I'm like, oh, that was cool.
You know what? Yeah. I'm going to amend my score then, too. It's also a zero for me. I can't, like...
Yeah, it sucks. I mean, the thing is, like, I started the show by saying that this movie has its defenders. And I know people have talked about, well, it's cool when he uses his atomic breath. And my retort to that is it? It's kind of fucking lame when he uses it. The first time he uses it, nothing happens. And then the second time he like open mouth kisses the fucking bug and then like blows its head off. But even then it's like, I don't care because I just want the movie to be over. Like, I hate it. I hate this fucking movie so much. And I hate fucking, I don't know, man. Like, it's like, this is like,
Aaron Taylor Johnson, we didn't talk about him much, but he is like an absolute charisma vacuum. He's
so bad. He's gotten better in recent years, I will say. I've seen him in a few things, and I like him a little bit more. But he's awful. And like, he's great in Nosferatu. But he's terrible in this. And I'm going to – this is, might be a little far afield, but this movie reminds me so much of The Departed, okay? Follow me.
Okay.
This movie takes something that I love from a foreign market and adds all the America crap to it, and it just wrings it out of anything that's creative or interesting. And it's just like The Departed. Like, you have to add a love interest, and you have to add another hour, and you have to do this, you have to do that, you have to say the N-word 50 times. And then you got fucking Infernal Affairs, which is a nice, clean, quick movie. You get to the point. It's fucking awesome. It's emotionally impactful. It's great. Probably cost $100 to make. It's great. Godzilla 2014. It's like, oh, we got to have a fucking soldier in it. It's got to be about family. It's got to be about this. It's got to be about that. We can't fucking have Godzilla be a bad guy. We can't show fucking people. We can't show actual devastation, like a fucking buildings falling over and people dying. Like, no, we can't do that. Like, you wring it out of anything that's fucking interesting. You know who's, you know what? I'm going to say a wild take right now. You know what would have been good on this movie?
What's that?
You know who would have been a good director for this fucking movie?
Who?
You know what I'm going to say? Zack Snyder.
Yeah.
He would have directed the shit out of this movie.
Hell yeah.
You know what? This was his project. He would have done, as much as I can't stand the guy, he directs destruction and he doesn't give a shit about people.
Like how has Guillermo del Toro never gotten involved? Like, you know what? Give me a Guillermo del Toro directed Hideo Kojima written Godzilla movie.
Oh yeah.
I was gonna say let your boy from Eva direct it, but he already did that.
Yeah, he already made a Godzilla movie. It was a fucking mess.
Do it again.
Yeah, make another one. I'm fine with that. Keep making them.
I still need all to see Shin Ultraman and Shin Godzilla.
Shin Kamen Rider. They're all in the Plex. I highly recommend it. Do you got a pick for next week?
Kinda. Did you ever see Rage with Ken Watanabe? It's like a three-movie anthology. I kind of want to pick that, but like you can vamp for a minute and I'll...
Rage, huh?
It's like three vignettes.
That it's a vignette film?
I believe so.
You're going to put Alec through a vignette film?
I don't know. Well, he made us watch it. I will die on the hill that fucking both Vanya and My Dinner are
they were better
compelling
than
movies.
They were
especially
both
My Dinner with Andre.
They were both better than this.
Got a pick. You know what? Fuck Alec. I'm picking Kraven the Hunter with Aaron Taylor Johnson.
Oh, no. It's already on the Plex. You could, you know, it's funny. You know what he's in? You know what Ken Watanabe's in?
What's up?
He's in that fucking creator movie we were just talking about.
Yeah, yeah. He's also in The Last Samurai, but that movie's like really long.
I don't know if I've ever seen that.
It's pretty good, if I recall. Oh, my God. Do you want to guess the runtime on Kraven the Hunter?
Go ahead.
127 minutes.
Oh, you gotta be kidding me. Are you serious?
Jesus. Let me keep vamping for a minute, because I don't even know if I'm that committed to that bit.
Yeah, that's rough. You could pick the sequel. You could pick Godzilla King of Monsters.
Oh, God.
I mean, there's other actors in Godzilla. I mean, there was plenty of... You could pick Bryan Cranston. You could pick Aaron Taylor Johnson.
Did you ever see Martha Marcy May Marlene with Elizabeth Olsen? That's really good. I don't know how well that'll go over, though.
I have seen that. It is good.
Nocturnal Animals. That was a movie I wanted to see, but never did.
Never seen that.
Let's see what old Elizabeth Olsen face has been in.
I'm gonna pick something with CJ Adams in it, who played young Ford, played the kid version. What is Bryan Cranston's filmography has got to be absolutely insane.
I think he's got like a real like late filmography though.
Hey, Bryan Cranston's birthday day before mine. Look at that, March 7th.
Hey,
fellow Pisces.
Shout out to birthdays the day before other people's birthdays.
Oh, he was in Argo. That would be an interesting movie to watch.
Yeah, like that's another one of those I think kind of weak best picture, but Alan Arkin's in it, and I love him.
You've never seen him.
Oh, he's in that Power Rangers movie.
And Watanabe and Bryan Cranston are both in Isle of Dogs, which is a movie I like.
It's like the only Wes Anderson movie that I like.
He was in the.
I know what I'm gonna...
Yeah, I got one for you. This is a weird callback to, I think, before we even started recording. Bryan Cranston is uncredited, and he's in The Disaster Artist.
I saw that, but I think.
Oh, and he's Zordon in the Power Rangers movie.
I might pick one of these Armitage movies. Is he in all of them?
He's in the Armitage movie, the anime?
Yeah, he's in the Macross Plus miniseries too.
Shit. Well, they have a movie version of the Macross Plus. Oh, he's the voice of like the fucking Zentradi guy, isn't he?
Oh shit, yeah. He's also in the Super Dimension Force. God damn, I didn't know he was that, like, I didn't know his weeb credentials.
Oh, how did I forget this? How did I forget that Bryan Cranston was in fucking Drive? I totally forgot he was in Drive.
That's what I was gonna pick.
You should pick Drive.
I love Drive. Yeah, let's do Drive.
Let's pick Drive.
Although I kind of want to make them watch fucking Macross Plus.
Alex's gonna fucking hate it, but it's fine.
Techno Man or Tenko Man? What is this?
I didn't know Bryan Cranston did so much anime work.
I know, right? Like, I mean, he's got a good voice. That tracks.
Yeah.
Armitage 3 Polymatrix.
Dude, I liked Armitage. Those movies were cool. Yeah. I remember when I read Neuromancer long after I'd seen those movies. I was like, oh, that's where they got the name.
He was Fei Long in the Street Fighter 2 movie, the animated movie.
Fei Long, the Bruce Lee character?
Yeah.
That's fucking
credited as Phil Williams.
Oh, God, I need to listen to that dub. It's probably embarrassing. He's probably like, oh.
The Super Dimension Century Orgus 02. God damn.
I've never even heard. That's Macross, isn't it?
It's often thought to be a sequel to Macross, but oh, this is another one of those like Stitch things. Yeah, let's just do Drive.
All right, we'll do Drive. I'll put Drive on the Plex. I think it's already on there, but I can't. Everybody tune in next week and be heartbroken when Alec hates Drive, because
I don't know. I'll quit.
He's gonna hate it. There's no way. Well, maybe not. I mean, Baby Goose is heroic in that film. It's not like he's like he does heroic things in that movie.
And he fucks Oscar.
What's her name?
Oscar Isaac.
Oh, Oscar Isaac's in that movie. That's right. I forgot
about that. Yeah, he gets it.
All right. Drive next week, everybody. That's the show. You know what to do. Eat your own ass.
All right.
Bye-bye.